Our scripture reading today for the message is from Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. He sat down opposite the treasury, and Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. And many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on."
Howdy. Oh, wow, Ewan's got you a fancy church over here in Dadville. I ain't never seen nothing to beat it. I bet they ain't got nothing no finer than this plum over in Utica. Hey, oh, you don't mind if I take my shoes off, do ya? That was a long walk, and my feet are feeling kind of tender. Oh, it's a right fur piece from where I live over to Kirshnerville. Yes, sir, right fur piece. I don't get over to town much, but sometimes if one of my kin got a wagon load of wood to sell or something, I might catch a ride and go on in and find out what's been going on. Why, it was spring of the year before I knowed Mr. Taft had been voted in president last November. Me and my brother George likes to see, can we get us a look at one of them new automobiles? We've seen one once or twice. That's why I was a little late coming in. I was looking at them out there in the churchyard, and I was looking at them up close, and I touched one. Oh, but that ain't why I come here today. No, indeed. It was kind of your preacher to let me testify first. I know Ewan's all got a lot to share, too, but he said I could say my piece first and get on back, being I got so fur to walk. I come here today to give an offering. See, to me, it's a real special offering, and I wanted to give it in a real church house. Oh, we got us a church back our way, but it's a schoolhouse excepting on the Sabbath. Ain't got no altar or nothing. I can worship in it, okay, but it just don't seem right after all these years. I sit in that little building the whole 6 years of my education, and I always feel kind of like a youngin' in there, like I never quite growed up, like I ought to write all my sins out on my slate or something. Offerings laying up there on the desk like an apple for the teacher, oh, it just ain't fitting. My ma wouldn't have stood for none of that kind of talk when she was alive. She said any place could be holy ground. And I reckon just about all of God's good ground was holy to her. Why, she could love stuff right up out of the ground. Shucks, she could nurse corn till it was full as a fat baby. Mother her a brood of cucumbers or tomatoes like she was the vine itself. Kentucky Wonders climbed her poles like a black snake up an apple tree. She put up mess after mess of beans and things in quart jars and laid them by in the shed. And then she took them to the Lord on Sunday. She took them to the schoolhouse on Sunday to help the Lord feed the needy. First and ever 10, that was her tithe. I didn't think on it much. It was just something a body done. It seemed like a good idea to me. First fruits, the preacher called it. It was just a way of life. Besides, there was always plenty left for us. I loved my ma's green beans more than anybody. I ate more than anybody, too. Never tasted nothing no finer in my life than my ma's green beans. Maybe there was something about that ground. What ground? My ma didn't garden. She walked, birthing babies, and I figure them was holy walks. Midwifed every baby round here for years. never lost but one twin. Two if you count the other twin. Its mother never lived to birth it, and it died inside her. Thing is, the onliest mother and baby my ma ever lost was her own blood. That is my sister Janie. She lived over on the other side of the creek, and the pains hit her early, so she walked way over to Ma's because her man weren't there to come fetch her. He is off on a logging run. Oh, he was mighty good to Janie. He liked to get her nice dress-up things when he could, hats and gloves and things. He never got over it when she died. I liked to never neither. After my first grief, I got so riled up at God Hisself, I stomped my feet and I hollered at him. Well, I hollered at Ma, but I knowed he's a listening too. What kind of God you got anyhow? For years you've been traipsing all over the countryside helping other folks. Is this your reward? Is this what you get? Are you telling me God couldn't do nothing to stop it? All them things you've been telling me about God don't hold to it now when it came right down to it, doubt does it. And I'll tell you another thing. For all your grown years, you've been giving the Lord the first of everything you got. Well, I guess that weren't enough for him, was it? I guess he wanted the first of your grandbabies, too. It ain't right. It just ain't right. Ma made me go on back to church, but I never again could sing Power in the Blood. I watched her die. I was a rebellious house. A rebellious house. And then one day Charlie came along. And I liked his looks. And he was sweet on me, so I just done took up with him. It shamed my ma no end, but what did I care what she thought anymore anyhow? Her and God was just like that. And I didn't believe in no merciful God no more. I was surprised how easy it was to ignore him. I mean, I didn't get struck down with sickness nor nothing. Charlie was God enough for me, and I worshipped him. He'd give me this ring. Shucks, it probably ain't even no real diamond, but I held true to everything my ma taught me about love offerings. I give him the first of my day and the first of my night. The first of my energies was spent doing for him. When I baked, the first batch of sweets went to him. And when I cooked, the first and biggest helpings was his. That spring when he set off for Buffalo to better himself, I was the first to wish him well. And the last to know he wouldn't never coming back. All them things I done for him, I guess it weren't enough. But the fear of birthing babies was just too keen. I didn't let on like it bothered me none when Charlie didn't come back. Let me tell you what I done. My pa told me this story afore he died about getting a hand-me-down winter coat that's about three sizes too big. His ma made him wear it to school anyhow, and the kids made such fun of him. Every morning, as soon as he got outside of the house, he'd hide it in the woods and walk on to school in his shirt sleeves. Then in the evenings, he'd go find it and wear it back home. That's how I done my love for Charlie. I was thinking on it the other day. When I went out in public, I hid my love at home so as nobody could laugh at me. But when I got back, I wrapped it around me like a big old coat, and I pulled my head down inside that collar, and I buried myself in it. Trouble was, felt about as cold as Pa's coat must have felt after it laid in the woods all winter. Sometimes I'd put on this hat and dance around, pretending I was a fine lady who had me a handsome beau that thought I was the world and all. trouble was pretend only lasts so long. And about the middle of the night, a feather bed can feel just as cold as a creek bed, and a pillow can get just as wet. And God can seem just as deaf as a creek stone. I guess you think I'm going to tell you some big miracle took place, and I come to my senses, but that ain't what happened. To tell the truth, after it was winter, I didn't have no choice but go back to live with Ma. It ain't like country folk to turn a body away, but they can be stern when they've been wronged. I knowed I'd hurt Ma. That's why I hadn't been back to see her. And I dreaded going back. I don't know what I expected, but it was anything but what I got. I can see her yet. When I crossed that footlog, she let out a whoop and she slapped her thighs like she done. And she stood there grinning till she was hugging me as tight as ever she closed one of those mason jars. That sealed it too. Long as she lived, she never asked no questions, never laid down no rules, never once let me see the wounds I done caused her. You cannot even imagine how good that first plate of her green beans tasted. Everybody else had done left the table when I took out my third plateful. I looked up and she's a grinning and watching me. I kept waiting for the new to wear off and the bitter to start seeping out. I mean, she'd lost a lot more than I had. How could she be so blame happy? I waited for her to pounce on me like on a hen for Sunday dinner. How could she be so full of love, even after everything that had happened? I tell you, it was more than I could conceive of. It bothered me right smart. Caused me some wonderment, too. I mean, if I liked her, oh, and I did, I admired her no end. And if living with God made her that way, and she wasn't sour on me, how could I be sour on God? It was more than I could conceive of. I come there to stand my ground, but folks, they just ain't no arguing with that kind of love. It don't stop giving something just because it loses something. It was painful as birthing any real baby, and it took a spell longer, too, but finally, gradually, a new spirit was born out of me, healthy. It's like Paul says in the Bible, first they give their own selves to the Lord. I went back to church, started giving my tithe again, first tenth of everything I got. I took up herb medicine, and I even got to where I could watch Mom midwife a time or two before she died. I was right proud of myself. And then one day, I was sitting over by the water trough. See, we got us this log hollered out, and it's laid by on a drop-off where we can, it makes a nice spout for us to catch our drinking water. Anyway, I was sitting over there, pondering. It come to me just as clear. Now, ain't you something, Sari Mae? You have been giving your first fruits to the Lord all this time? La-dee-da. You've been thinking since you're a tither, you got this given thing all sewed up neat as a flour sack? Sure, Sari Mae. The first time this creek thaws out after it's been froze all winter, you might take the first bucketful to a sick neighbor. But what if there's a drought? And the creek's drying up. Would you be so willing to give your last bucketful? So what I got figured is this. Giving the first fruits of everything you got to the Lord is one thing. But it come to me that a real offering, a real holy ground offering, would be to give the last of something you got. This here hat's the last thing I own that belonged to my sister Janie. This ring's all I got left to Charlie, wherever he is. And this here's the last jar of my ma's green beans. I was saving it for Christmas dinner. Well, I'd like to stay and hear what all you brung, but I got to be getting back. I'll just put these things down on the altar. I could walk all the way to Stillwater.
Thank you, Connie. For those of you who might be a little worried about that paragraph where she said, "I'm glad you're letting me talk first before your preacher talks," you don't have to worry. There's nothing I could add to that. Please stand for our benediction. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.